Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome into the Corlin Political Report. We've got some interesting topics to cover today, a little bit different than some of the topics that we have covered in the past. The first thing that we're going to do is we're going to drive on up to Wisconsin, and we're going to talk about that election up there. It is, unfortunately, a pretty good example of, I don't want to say how the election system is corrupt, but I do want to say how the election system is very different than it's been in the past. Jimmy, you want to start out?
Sure, of course. So there's a couple of different things. And I do want to say, you know, today is Good Friday, and today's the day that Jesus went to the cross. So a lot of darkness there, but I will say towards the end of the show, we're going to talk about hope and the possibilities and what I see is, at least in my view, what's happening. In spite of the darkness that we're going to talk about in the next few segments. So in Wisconsin, the Supreme Court was, there was one race to fill a Supreme Court seat where Wisconsin had previously a 4-3 conservative majority. And of course, because of this recent election between Dan Kelly, the conservative, and Janet Prostewitz, who was the progressive candidate, she appears to have won the race, which shifts the conservative Supreme Court in Wisconsin from conservative to more left. Now, interesting information has come out since this election. Apparently, according to a lot of information out there, a group called Wisconsin for Action created an application for funding people. If they downloaded the app, they were paid $30. And if they actually gave contacts for 75 people, they were given a gift card. And they were additional gift card for, I believe, $25, maybe even $75. And but it went up to $250 that people could actually raise money in order to provide information to outreach. And actually, what you're doing is basically paying for votes.
Yeah.
And of course, according to Wisconsin statute, this would be illegal. However, I am sure that with a change in the Supreme Court, that if in fact it goes forward, it may be contested, but it looks like that. You know, who knows if anybody will follow up and hold anyone accountable for these actions that appear to be against the law. And that's consistent with other issues that are happening that have been brought out this last week, certainly with James O'Keefe, O'Keefe Media Group, the former Project Veritas management president, about Act Blue donations. And we can talk about that as well.
Well, Jim, it seems to me that the situation that you just described is totally illegal. And I think it's just as simple as that. What's your comment on what I just said, Jimmy?
Well, according to Wisconsin statute, apparently it is illegal to accept any type of a bribe or offering any type of funding for influence on a vote. And this group was specifically supporting progressive candidates to switch the election to a progressive court.
Yeah.
So that would imply that, yes, that would be illegal. Now, again, there'll be a lot of angling and twisting to identify whether it's legal or not. But ultimately, it has to do with law enforcement of whether or not they will investigate and go forward. And what we're seeing in many of these states is they've been so corrupted by progressive ideologies and leaders that many of them do not go forward and investigate. We'll see what happens in Maryland. You know, Maryland, who was, Republican Governor Larry Hogan was in charge up until this last election. And what we see from the O'Keefe Media Group, he actually took FEC information. Other groups, I guess, organizations actually reached out to him. But basically they saw in the FEC donations for the Federal Election Commission's donation requests, basically small donors donating thousands of times over the last few years to Act Blue for tens to hundreds of thousands of dollars. And when they went out to these homes and to the people that were doing these donations, they found out that, in fact, they had not done the donations, that someone was using their name in order to and their address in order to imply that they were giving donations to Act Blue. And we, in some cases, 8,000 times that they donated at 10 and 15 small donation amounts, dollar donations, $15, in some cases, very large amounts. But what it looks like is that Democratic organizers and people behind the scenes are using this information, this of small donors, to launder money to support candidates and pretend that they're getting small donations from small donors, when in fact it's large donors from behind the scenes fraudulently flooding the zone with money, which is completely corrupt. But again, it takes somebody to investigate and to follow up and hold them accountable to stop the process. And we are seeing a very weak Department of Justice in enforcing election law around the country. And in many of these blue and purple states, a hesitancy to actually go through the investigations and hold people accountable.
Okay. Pretty.
So what that does, Al, that separates out the country even more. It divides us even more, because in some states you're getting away with complete corruption. In other states, they, you know, in more conservative states, they're saying, hey, this is not, you know, we're going to enforce voter ID. We're going to enforce following the rules, and they will prosecute. So they're getting more redder, but the bluer states and the more corrupt states that are pushing away from voter ID, that are expanding these opportunities like building these apps and doing these outreach programs right at the margins of the law, if not directly against the law, are creating a big divide in this nation, which I do not see as a positive direction at all.
Well, let's put a little bit of hope in the statement that you just made, Jimmy. Is there any way at all that one could construe this as being a good thing for the country? I don't think so.
Well, the only thing that I can say is, with transparency and awareness, people wake up that, hey, maybe I'm being abused and manipulated. The problem is we have too many censors in the tech industry and too many voices in the media industry and too many politicians that start screaming and yelling loudly, idiots that scream so loud that they drown out any other voices and they drown out facts or information. Okay. So that's sad. But at the same time, I do think there is hope that more and more this comes out, people are going to say, wait a second, I've been tricked. You know, what do you mean I donated $200,000 over the last years and I live in a $40,000 home back in the woods somewhere? You know, this doesn't make any sense. And maybe it'll wake up some people to the corruption.
Okay, Jimmy, purely and simply, we have laws in this country. One of the laws goes contradictory to the actions of Citizens Blue, okay? Why isn't the DOJ doing something about that?
I think it's pretty clear that Merrick Garland and most of these prosecutors inside the Department of Justice, as well as the FBI, have been compromised. They're more concerned about protecting their power than they are about following justice. And that is very apparent with what has happened over the Trump indictment this last week, that the federal government had a prosecutor that was involved that joined the group with Alvin Bragg. You see it with the J6 people. You see it across the board, unwilling to prosecute Democrats, but more than happy to attack conservatives.
Jimmy, I understand completely what you're saying right now, but my comment about that, I really would like a definitive answer on that from you, and that is, if somebody robs a bank, okay, they go to jail. If somebody...
Let's go to the next segment and talk a little bit more about it.
All right, let's do that. Jimmy, and ladies and gentlemen, stick around. Got a commercial. Be right back.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. In this particular segment in our continuing attempt to keep open this country for a lot of things that are very questionable. We're going to talk about what happened during the last election, specifically in Wisconsin, where people were actually paid to vote. And this is documented. Jimmy, how could this go on in a country where that particular action in an election is against the law, clearly?
Yeah, it just appears that what has happened over a period of time, and actually a pretty short period of time, is people have become so divided and so angry at the opposition. And I think it's very much a left push to alienate not only Trump supporters, but conservatives in general, in order to push their ideologies. They're willing to sacrifice anything, including the law, including the Constitution, in order to achieve power and achieve their political gains.
But how can they get away with it, James? Or,
who's going to hold them accountable if, in fact, the Department of Justice, the leading law enforcement agency in the country, and the judicial system is not able and will not follow through? Who will hold them accountable? And if the voters don't have a true say in the vote, then how do you beat this? This is how problematic this has become. When the media, the powers of law enforcement, when politicians and actually the judicial system is unwilling to question corruption, then you are faced with this type of a collapse. And it's happened over and over again throughout history. There is no question that we have the human race has a long history of going from small amounts of hope and then backsliding into tyranny and control. And what we're seeing now is elements that control law enforcement, elements that control the media, elements that control our voting apparatus and our, you know, what was once a democracy, actually a republic, that are now not allowing other information to go forward that might hold people accountable. In the past, Al, when we had problems like this, mainstream media outlets would be all over it. 60 Minutes, ABC, NBC, CNN, Fox, anybody would be after these types of corruption schemes. But what we're seeing now is a very skewed perception and a controlled mechanism that keeps this information from getting to the general public. So the general public thinks that everything is okay, or they're so angry at the corruption, at the hate and the development of this kind of sociopathy, if I would say it, against conservative values on the left, that they're willing to do anything in order to achieve their power. And so who's going to stop it? When the Seattle Police Department stops enforcing laws because of the legislature and city council passes new laws that don't allow them to do it or cuts them, who holds them accountable? If the voters don't hold them accountable, if the voters keep voting them in, or if the election system is actually corrupt so the voters can't make a stay, who stops it? Who stops the devolution of San Francisco or New York, especially if the system is corrupt?
Okay.
And that's what we're seeing right now, is a rapid decline in trust and faith in the system, but a rapid increase of control of the system by a very small group of people.
Well, the only comment I can make on that is, sitting on the outside looking in, it just seems to me that if the conservatives said, you know, this is what happened in Wisconsin and here's how we can prove it. Jane Doe, in her election campaigns, was purportedly reported to have given $60,000 to a candidate, and it was not reported that she gave that kind of money. It would seem to me that if a front page article was written in one of the newspapers in that area, that somebody would be all over that.
Well, the problem is you're not getting a front page article because the media, the editors, and the newspapers are saying, calling it false information or misinformation, and they're protecting the Democratic view. And why are they protecting the Democratic view? Because they're afraid to say anything against it because they'll be attacked. And that's what we saw.
How will they be attacked, Jim?
Well, what happened in 2020 in the summer?
Okay.
What happens to any reporter? What happened to Alan Dershowitz, who was standing up for the Constitution and defended Donald Trump in his impeachment hearing because it was constitutionally illegal to do what they were saying, and they were providing fraudulent information? So he stands up, a Democrat, a well-respected lawyer, a very, very long historically liberal man, stands up for someone based on the Constitution. You know what happens to him? He gets attacked and yelled at. His friends don't talk to him anymore because he supported the evil man, Donald Trump. And that's what we've created, what we've seen in this society, is this division and hate. And I want to ask people out there that are listening to this, why, especially if you're on the left, why do you hate Donald Trump so much? Primarily, I would say it's because what people have told you and what the media has told you. It's not because you know anything, and it's certainly not because you have any direct information other than what you see from the media. But the media is actively pursuing a policy in conjunction with Democrats in order to achieve a political end. And that gives them financially more incentive and more power.
And that gives who? The
editors, the corporations that own and manage those editors.
So what you're saying is the people, the editor, the owner, etc., Carlos Slim of the New York Times, is able to print blatant lies.
And I'm saying he's not doing it, but the people that work for him are.
All right.
And we saw it over and over and over again. And you're seeing it actually from the White House. And remember this, nobody wants to offend the people in power, right? If you're a corporation, you don't want to be attacked. And when you use law enforcement as a tool to threaten, this is what we get in America. When you use the EPA or the IRS to threaten somebody, just like you, Al, you're afraid to even say things on the radio show because you're afraid of potentially getting shut off. That's how they're using power to influence and silence people. That's what's happening in America right now.
Okay, we're going to take a look at that question. I'm not disagreeing or agreeing. It's a pretty important question, and I'm going to take a look at that certainly this week and report back to you folks on that. Stick around, got to take a break. Be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Hope you enjoy the top of the hour news. That seems to be my standard line every time we open up the second half of the KER Politics. We have a story right now that Jimmy and I have been talking about off mic. He has been doing most of the talking, I have to say. There is proof positive, at least in my mind, and certainly in Jim's mind, as to what's going on in the country right now in terms of powerful people attempting to silence people who they think are not powerful. This whole thing started out really with the Elon Musk situation yesterday. You know, if I had the money just to support Mr. Musk, I would go out and buy a Tesla today, but I think I'm going to stick with my BMW, but I think that's a mistake. Jimmy, you've got a great story. Why don't you take the mic and take as much time as you need?
All right, Al. Well, what we know is that Elon Musk bought a large percentage of, in fact, became the largest shareholder in Twitter last week with about 9.3% or something like that, 9.1%
right,
of the Twitter stock. Because of that buy, the value of the stock went up. It's had a pretty good run. But what has happened since his efforts to do that, initially as a member of the board, he was requested by the board and by the CEO, Parag Agrawal, to basically not take any responsibility to open it up for free speech. I mean, that's the way, the simplest way to bring it down, to not have as much control as he should. And so he's backed off on that offer to join the board and made a public offer to purchase Twitter at $54 plus a little bit a share. Well, last night it closed at $45 a share. That's $9 a share. That's a pretty huge increase in value for shareholders. But what we're seeing is a massive pushback, not from individuals, but from big corporate entities.
And from Saudi royalty.
Exactly. So let's go through some of the people that have done the pushback. So Saudi Prince Alwad bin Talal Al Saud, he claims to own about 5% or over 5% of the shares. It looks like, based on SEC filings, that he has maybe a little less than 5% of the shares there. But basically, he came out and said no. And of course, Elon Musk wrote back and said, so the Saudis have been really in for free speech? Because ultimately, as Musk has pointed out multiple times now in multiple venues, that this is about protecting a free speech platform.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing with this pushback from people like Bin Talal and Vanguard, who bought up 10%, they increased their shareholdings from around December last year at 8.4% to over 10% to increase their ownership above Musk's 9%. And then you know that Morgan Stanley, Fidelity, and BlackRock have they've got large stakes in Twitter as well. But what's more disturbing is to watch the mainstream media financial analysts and experts poo-poo on this and saying, hey, this is, maybe it's a joke, he's not serious, or he's trying to control, and it may be the end of democracy if Elon Musk actually owns Twitter and allows free speech on Twitter.
Pardon me, I got an interruption. Now, I cannot believe the statement that somebody who's attempting to foster a higher degree of freedom of speech, I don't see a connection between that and the end of democracy.
No, I don't either. But ask Brian Stelter on CNN or Brooke Baldwin on MSNBC. They're making very strong statements. And of course, some of the financial analysts on CNBC are making very similar, ranging from this is a joke, it's not serious, to, hey, maybe there's some legal issues with him attempting to do this. And then to the extreme of, oh, by the way, if he takes over, then everybody's done and free speech is doomed, which is absolutely inconsistent with reality, which shows you how desperate they are. But let me tell you, Al, one more thing that is even more damning out there right now, and that is the DOJ and the SEC have apparently, according to some reports, have opened investigations into Tesla. Once again, this administration and the Department of Justice under Merrick Garland using the power of law to intimidate people out of both free speech and free markets, and in order to use the threat of basically finding an imprisonment to silence voices.
Yeah.
Now, this is the idea that there's a conspiracy out there that a powerful, influential mega funders and corporate entities attempt to control the narrative is no longer a conspiracy theory. This absolutely proves that these large financial institutions, that the major corporate media outlets, that the Department of Justice and this administration are trying to silence someone who wants to defend free speech in America.
I want to stress that fact, Jimmy. I want to say that I agree with you 1,000%, and this is proof positive.
Elon Musk, with his background, being where he's from, realizes the importance, probably almost more than any other American, of a free democracy, of freedom of speech. Look at his background. Look at where he's from. Look at the amazing situations some of the heroes of his original country have done to foster democracy. This guy grew up with this stuff. I've read all the books about his heroes, the people who he, I have to say, is really looking to right now and saying, you know, I'm going to help you in your effort of the past because you did it in our original country. Let's do it in America, the most important country in the world, in my mind. You agree with that?
I agree with it. And I think that basically he realizes, you know, he's been at odds with people like Mark Zuckerberg, specifically because of AI and Facebook. You know, Mark Zuckerberg controls Facebook completely. And
of
he's
course he does.
Trying to expand the algorithms and the artificial intelligence. Jeff Bezos is doing the same. I know my son, theoretical physicist from Caltech, works on AI development for Amazon Web Services.
Right.
Elon Musk is very concerned for the human race about the potential damaging effects of these types of controls, using AI to influence and intimidate or to silence voices, but more importantly, to be able to shape minds and influence people without them even knowing that and knowing it. And, you know, he realizes what the devastation that could be brought upon this. And of course, these other major corporate conglomerates and giants, including the networks and, you know, Google, like, they're making their fortune off of that type of control.
Yep.
So this is a real, in my view, this is the war. It's an information war, and this is the what's the most damaging thing out there. And we know that this administration has stepped over the bounds in attempting to use legal and law enforcement, using that type of government power to silence opposition voices. You see it every day, but it's becoming very clear. I think we ought to talk a little bit about Project Veritas as well.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. You know, I find it really interesting that a certain demographic in our country is doing this. I don't think they're going to have the luck that eventually came out of the Elon Musk's country, obviously South Africa. I don't think they're going to have the luck, but I think that they're going to try and try and try. And we're going to have a great indication on the first election here coming up shortly. Jimmy, we've got about 30 seconds here. Jim and I are going to give you just a bit of a preview. In the first segment, we talked really about another subject that's very important, and that's truly Ukraine. In the final segment, we're going to wrap this up, but we believe that we have, thanks to Jimmy, proof positive of the degradation that's going on in the freedom in the United States. Back, you know, as Jim mentioned a number of times during the show, today is Good Friday. Good Friday is a symbol of hope for Christians anyway, always has been for me. And I want to say that there are a number of situations going on in the world that certainly give me hope. I mean, I can go out and I can wave my arms and say, you know, this is terrible. What's going on is exactly what is written in the last chapter of the New Testament, and which, as you guys know, is Revelation. And all I want you to do is think about the concept of hope in today's society. I'm sleeping pretty well at night because I have a lot of faith in what's going on. And if I didn't have hope with some of the stuff that I've gone through in the last couple of years, I don't know what I would do. Jimmy, give me, if you would, in your opinion, the first sight of hope as I just described it.
I think our nation, America, has been falling for a long time. And the reason why it's been falling for a while is because of people have lost touch with with faith, with the fact that there's something bigger, something larger out there that holds us accountable, okay, rather than just our own desires. And I think people are waking up.
What is that, Jim?
Well, I just say that I think we've been losing that faith. We've been losing that sense of moral guidance.
Yeah.
And I think what's happening now is, in spite of all the pain and all the suffering and these bizarre accusations, these bizarre events that are happening around us all the time, what we've talked about a lot with the lack of justice in America, the censorship and the corruption and the influences in election fraud,
yeah,
all these things are actually, I believe, going to force Americans to rethink where we've headed. And I think it's going to turn more people back to understanding that we can't devolve into a godless society, that we have to have hope, that we have to respect the basic moral values that have made this nation not only great, but have actually made civilization and humanity better over the generations, because they had a moral background, because they had moral purpose.
Right. What I would say in response to that is, number one, you're 100% right. There was an entirely different attitude in the United States here, I would say, back in the 19th century, and certainly back in the the latter part of the 18th century. That attitude has to return. Sitting and complaining does absolutely no good. And we are going to be providing reasons that's the case in the future here. I'm kind of tired about just talking about the negativity in our society, because it's personally leading me down the wrong path mentally. And what I'm going to do, just to salve my conscience at the end of when I'm done posting this program, I'm going to put up one more time, I'm going to put up some of the comments that Jim has made that are true. And if they were simply, if the situations discussed in those comments were simply taken care of, America would go back to being the land of the free and the home of the brave.
There's a picture that I saw earlier today, Al, that was a picture of New York and the high-rise buildings there about 100 years ago, lit up with massive crosses on top of the buildings, recognizing Good Friday and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that brings not only forgiveness for sins, but hope for a better future.
Right.
And I think this is where we've lost. What this war that's going on is much greater than just back and forth between politics and Justice Department and transgender issues.
Yeah.
It's really about darkness and light.
It really is. Well, that's the way that you and I look at it, Jim. But I want to say one thing. That doesn't, in my mind anyway, take this discussion and eliminate the Jewish faith. It basically highlights the Jewish faith along with Christianity. I'm spending a lot of time with some Jewish folks in my home here. I attended a Seder dinner last Wednesday, and I have to tell you, all of the goodness that I heard that came out of that particular dinner made me very proud of my Jewish friends. There's a lot of hope. If we're going to put a religious twist to this, you got to keep in mind that Christians are great, but they aren't the only people in the world. There are some very, very wise people and people who share Jim's thoughts and my thoughts in what I consider to be the other two major faiths, Christianity and Judaism.
Well, I think that nothing precludes either forgiveness, redemption, or respect for one another of human beings in following basic moral laws. And of course, when you undermine those at any level, at any faith, then you think that you as an individual have no rules, then you can make decisions and you can push agendas in order to achieve what you believe is either more powerful or more influential. But it takes away the ultimate moral standards that have made people actually safer and trust each other. Because when you take away morality, then it's fine to do these, you know, just absolutely grotesque things to one another, as long as there's some sort of justification. It's fine to fight wars that destroy, you know, innocent people. It's fine to rob or take because, hey, there's no accountability there. And unfortunately, too many people have lost any sense of that. And again, it's not any particular religion, but Al, I'm talking about Easter this week and Passover is combined right now, which is, you know, at the same time, I think all of that can be hopeful to human beings, right? I think it's very much can be hopeful for them. But it does come to a moral foundation. And of course, Christianity is based on that Jewish moral foundation and the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
And but ultimately, in my view, it is about accepting and understanding that, you know, the sense of forgiveness, of redemption, and then avoiding sin.
Well, my opinion, you know, on the kind of the theme that this show has taken, certainly for the past, certainly since 2000, the theme that the show has taken, it really boils down to one thing. The moderates feel, not the moderates, I'm sorry, the progressives feel that, from what I'm noticing, that our moral values are significantly different than theirs. You know, and that's how this transgender issue becomes what I would have to say. A little bit skewed in a direction that I don't believe in.
They have to destroy faith in order to justify their own.
Yeah.
Look, if they're worried, if in fact there is a judgment out there from higher, then they will not feel. Then what they're doing may be wrong. You know, drugs, sex, attack, abuse, whatever. All these things that are happening, something would be, they'd be held accountable for it. So they've got to destroy the faith.
You bet.
The ultimate problem is they can't really destroy faith. You can't destroy faith in something that is at the heart.
Right. I agree 1,000%. And we're going to be talking just a little bit more about that. I know that we have some listeners who feel very strongly the same way that I do in that direction. Jerry certainly is one of them, and it's pretty obvious that Tony is obviously also one of them. Most of our listeners have pretty good hearts, and most of our listeners are letting some of their thoughts be skewed by some of the faithless actions that are going on in America today. And I want to talk about that a little bit, and I want to prove that what we are saying, what Jimmy is saying in some of his commentary, is absolutely provable. Anyhow, I'm going to wrap the show up right now. I'm going to say have a happy Easter to all the Christians out there, and we're going to say continue to enjoy Passover to all of the Jewish folks out there. Talk to you next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.